Welcome back to Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast, presented by Zwift during Zwift Academy season. This is going to be a news roundup of sorts. We've broken our summer sojourn. Benji and I on holidays, looking sun-kissed in warmer climes. We've broken our holidays to bring you some B&B collapse news, Cav speculation, and Miguel Angel Lopez contract termination for the second year running. For different reasons this time, updates. So we'll hit you with those, and then we'll get back to team previews later next week. But yeah, Benji, B&B not just not going to World Tour, which was never happening, not just a bigger budget with a World Tour level budget, not just staying as a Pro Conti team, completely collapsed, finished, done. No budget, team ceases to exist. Even I didn't expect that to happen. I thought at least the men's Pro Conti team would continue in some feeble form. What's actually taking place here?
I thought so as well. I thought that the status they were at would remain of the plans that were being rumored did not occur. But let's get a bit of a timeline going of what happened. We know that B&B comes from the fact that a team was opened in, I think, 2018, Vital Concept, that grew over the years, eventually doing Tour de France's. But the rumors of a bigger goal were already set at the start. They wanted to, in a certain time, become a World Tour team. Initially, it was by 2020, but that clearly did not occur. And eventually, we saw in mid-2022, roughly during or just before the Dauphiné, if my memory serves me right, the rumors that there would be a big sponsor that would throw money at this team. And this idea came forward with the numbers of 15 to 20 million budget, which, if you want to know what kind of budget that is, that's mid-tier World Tour, if not just above mid-tier. I'd say average World Tour is probably roughly 16 to 18 to 19 million, I'd dare to say. Some teams being 10 million, some teams being 40 million, that stuff. But 15 to 20 million puts you in the middle of World Tour. So if this team would have that budget, it'd still be a pro team because they don't have the points yet to go to World Tour, but they'd have the budget to sign a significant amount of decent riders. Anyway, the rumors for that brand was, first of all, Carrefour was said to be the brand, the French supermarket chain that would pop in. That did not really occur. Obviously, that budget would be spent on big riders, and the names that popped up were the likes of Mark Cavendish potentially going for B&B, then Nick Schultz, Kees Bol, Ramon Senkeldam, Richese, who came out of retirement, then planned another retirement, then would continue with B&B. That's his storyline in the going here. But all those names were rumored to go to B&B throughout this transfer season, and with those riders, I dare to say that they would go to the Tour de France with Cavendish. They already went the last 2 years without Cavendish. So, yeah, that would have been the case. And then a new rumor arrived where the city of Paris would be playing a role in it, where the city of Paris would give a license to the team to use the brand and the name of the city of Paris to the team. And when I first heard this, I thought, okay, Paris must be like giving money to this, but apparently that's not the case. The city of Paris is just playing a role in terms of having their brand used for the team, which seems a lot less than the way it was rumored, right?
Did it feel like bigger? Was that even true?
Apparently it was.
I don't believe anything anymore. Like, was anything ever signed by anybody? Like, you can, like, you know, you deal with people, especially, I mean, back being a lawyer, like, fortunately, a lot of the clients I established, you know, Rio Tinto, Glencore's, the world, big companies. But sometimes in the, especially when you're a junior, you know, you get a potential client comes in, they'll spin a big yarn, oh, we've got contracts coming in, or we're going to have those contracts. And one person's, it was nice to meet you, let's talk in the future. Some people take that like, we got a deal, or they'll just say we have a deal. And also like Paris, the Olympics in 2024, they don't exactly need more exposure from cycling when they got the Champs-Élysées finish every year. Like, kind of like, why would they put money into it? So it's just, I'd really like to know particularly if your man, like these people love to do a Phoenix resurrection, like would you be surprised if in 2 years, what is it, if he teams up with the Manuela Fundacion people and they're like, we're going to take a team world tour. Like, seriously, you probably come back in 2 years with a new project. Before that happens, I'd like to understand with people now out of jobs, like, was any of this real? Because, and also the teams that all these writers signed letters of intent, I've probably skipped ahead of the chronology, Benji, but writers signed things, not contracts, but I think Cavendish, he'd signed a letter of intent with B&B. Had they cited documents like from sponsors? But anyway, Paris was supposed to be named, not putting in money, and then there was post-Dauphiné, right, like a mad search for the title sponsor, rumored to be big companies, right?
Yeah, multiple companies were mentioned. Amazon France was mentioned, C-Discount. Don't really know that company, to be honest. Engie, which is like an electricity company, if my mind serves me right. Basically, the Carrefour rumor at this point was called a fake by Jérôme Pinault itself. Jérôme Pinault is the team manager here and basically the man that was hyping up the projects and saying, oh, City of Paris is in. Oh, we might potentially have this plan in the future. But all of this happened. All these rumors came by of those big companies, but no official news came of like a big sponsor actually signing a deal with this team. And then we arrived in October, where a lot of things happened in October. And this is one of the things that Jens de Buschere said in Belgian media. Apparently, the team came together in October with the signings already of 2023, including Mark Cavendish present. So if that is happening, if you have all the riders together, then there must be some kind of like dynamic where Jérôme Pinault just kept on saying to the riders, I'll find the sponsor, no worries, I'll find the sponsor, with nothing like on paper, because otherwise you wouldn't have events like that, right?
Yeah, like, and as the UCI, have they made this worse by extending deadlines?
Yeah.
And then when it's not worked out, the riders are in even more bother with less time before the end of the year to find a new team. Like, why have a deadline if you're not gonna meet it, I guess, or enforce it? So yeah, it's basically it progressively, like the snowball of bad news accelerated, where, you know, you might not hear anything for a month during August, and then suddenly every week we were hearing press releases where it was getting worse, going from like, we don't have a main sponsor, but we might have the same level of budget as last year. Okay, still got Tour de France invite, whatever. Maybe we don't have a women's team. That doesn't get launched. So Hosking and Cordon Rigaud are stuffed. To then, we might have a Conti team. To then, nothing. Like a week ago, the team's just done. No budget, nothing. And Sinkeldam had already found himself a spot at Albertson. But yeah, like, I mean, it is surprising, Benji, given there was so much smoke about more money, but it's also not when you realize this team hasn't even won a dot pro stage since 2019 when Lecoq won one. In the last triennium, they didn't win a dot pro or world tour stage. Like, it's not a good team at all. And so it's kind of Darwinism what happened. It's just a very weird way to get, like, it's just a very ungraceful exit from the sport temporarily, and in a way that instead of all the staff who I feel for and the riders getting notice, they've got like no time to find jobs.
And also, like, we speak about the fact that this team disappeared as a consequence of, first they had big sponsor rumors, then they had, okay, maybe we can survive in the same position we are in, because on November 17th, Dauphiné Libéré, French newspaper, when they first reported concrete doubts within the camp of like BNB, apparently BNB Hotels had renewed its commitment to the team with a budget of 5 million. And if that is the case, then that 5 million is there, unless once again, it's the case of all they said they would commit, or the case of they would commit if the larger project works out, which we don't know the behind the scenes of it, but it just started falling through one by one. And is it the ambition of going to World Tour that killed the team? Because otherwise, if it's just remaining in pro team, maybe this entire debacle wouldn't have happened.
I think so. Because say you got the BNB 5 mil, then you got to find to stay alive. Maybe you got to really cut some costs or whatever. You got to get to 8 or 9,
yep,
which is a pro team budget, right? You should be able to survive, yep, at 8 or 9.
They had 8 in 2018.
Okay. So they got to find 3 mil. 3 months, 4 months to find, or the year to find 3 mil is a lot more achievable than trying to find 17 million in a month or whatever, or to find 3 mil, yep, in 2 weeks. So I think you're onto something there, and the ambition delayed everything. And then, yeah, you can't pick up the 1 mil, the 500K sponsorships here and rack them up to get you over the line.
Before we get to which riders are in trouble when it comes to their contracts and where they could potentially go, I'd like to talk about who is at the cause of this. Because we have to take a look at the sport of cycling, and we see that to become a team, I think they need to bring in their papers by October 15 for something around that area. And BNB wasn't on time with that, but got that extension that you spoke about earlier. They got an extension by the UCI on the deadline to be able to get their papers in later. So that there is, of course, the UCI making it worse, like you mentioned. But should it also not just simply be earlier? I think the track boss, Gersilana, said that a few days ago, where he proposed that these deadlines should be earlier in the year to prevent these issues from happening. Is that a possible solution, or do you think that then it's going to become another problem?
I think you could make it earlier, because also I think rider contracts should end on October 31st. That's not that controversial when you think the UCI calendar ends then.
Does it end then? Or is Costa Rica in December also the same year?
Well, the last, World Tour or Pro Conti race is October 31st. So, to stop riders, the Vortas and EF Craddock Higuita thing happening again. Before we get into the next people probably to cast aspersions against or wonder if they were, you know, how this all went wrong, I'll mention Zwift Academy, something that's going right with Jay Vine getting that move to UAE Team Emirates. I believe he's in Spain now. So he's having a great time, by the way. Anyway, Zwift Academy is on. The first couple of episodes are out on the GCN, the Global Cycling Network YouTube channel. I'm not going to spoil any of those episodes yet, but there are 5 contestants. Well, there were supposed to be 5 contestants, male and female. But I think Liz van Herveling she fell sick. So there's 4 women contestants at the moment and 5 male contestants vying for contracts at Canyon SRAM or Alpecin Phoenix. Speaking of teams doing the opposite, Alpecin Phoenix, kind of the team, they did the opposite, right? Alpecin Phoenix. Everyone knew they were going World Tour. Everyone knew they were going to apply. And they pretended they never were like, we're going to go World Tour. Maybe they were. I didn't feel like they were beating that drum like a lot of other teams did. And they're like, yeah, we're going World Tour. And they got it. So they're actually now those riders fighting for a World Tour contract, or maybe they go for the dev team. Alberson World Tour next year. And I encourage you to go check it out, because the strike rate of riders coming through Zwift Academy who actually get second contracts now is pretty good. I'd need to do the data, but yeah, it's good entertainment, it's well produced, and thanks to Zwift for giving opportunities to people from just creating an unconventional pathway, because especially for the Southern Hemisphere folk, it's a genuine pathway into the pro peloton now. So go and check it out. Thanks to Zwift for supporting this show. And yeah, we've said the UCI, Benji for BNB. Is there anybody else? We've kind of mentioned Pino. Or should we blame the French brands? Why did no brand step up? There's a lot of French teams.
Yeah, why would I invest my money in BNB when I know that there's better French teams out there I can put my money on? Is it because it's cheaper to get my name on their shirt and they will probably end up in the Tour de France because of them being a French team and being a pro team, thus probably going to the Tour de France. It's probably quite valuable, but on the other end, they didn't do anything in the 2022 Tour de France, right? I think Mozzato sprinted to like 3 top 10 spots and that's it.
Yeah, they're like, as I said, they're not a good team. Like, if you actually look at the broader overall structure of World Tour, would it have been a good thing to have Total, BNB, Cofidis, FDJ, AG2R, am I missing anyone?
Arkea,
6 French World Tour teams in the next cycle. And functionally, we've had 6 World Tour French teams at the Tour de France. Groupama are a good team, above average team. AG2R have a fat budget. They're not good. Arkea have worked the point system very successfully. We'll see how they compete as a World Tour team based on their signings. I think they're just going to try and stay not relegated. Total is the one. Total got more money. Spech came across. They got more results. If I was a sponsor, I'd be like, ooh, more money, more results. Something has happened there.
Yeah.
Maybe still not the best team, but at least like there's progress there. Versus FDJ, their head of sports performance guy is pretty sharp, and I think they're moving in a really good direction, and their signings and their Conti team is just brilliant. But yeah, it's a shame for the staff, as I said, but again, I'll repeat, like, it's not the best team. But who's been impacted by this, Benji? Pierre Rolland retired. He said he got offered a World Tour contract, but he turned it down. But who else? Koreski went to Bora. Laurence. Do you have any news on Laurence? He's probably the best youngster on the squad.
There are plenty of rumors on Laurence the last month, where at first Ineos was popping up as a rumor. Then the likes of Quickstep, the likes of Aje Desair. We had like literally like 6 or 7 teams at a certain point were in the running for Laurence. And I think the most recent ones was that it's Quickstep and Aje Desair as the 2 ones. But if I'm being honest, if you're Laurence, 100% take Quickstep if you can. Like, 100% do it.
Yeah.
But on the other end, if you're Aje Desair, yeah. But if you're Aje Desair, we literally said that they should sign Laurence in our preview of that team. So they would want Laurence. With Quickstep, it's like they can have Laurence, but it's not vital for them. Because it would also take a potential spot of a domestique for Remco in that sense.
If I'm Remco, I'm like, you better not. You better not. I'm not going to South America to do Vuelta San Juan, presumably not for free. Quickstep must. I don't think he's going to Vuelta San Juan when he bought a house in Valencia and they got a 5-day stage race in February around his house. But he's doing San Juan. You're not taking that budget and getting a 21-year-old puncher sprinter when they've got Bagioli already. Like, I mean, maybe they will. If I was, as you said, Laurence, yeah, it'd be good for him. AG2R, yeah, they got probably 2 people that can hit 1,000 watts on the roster, so adding a third would be good. And he's French, so he could be, develop into a nice star. But it's one of those things where it's like, Laurence is a nice rider. Like, he's nice for sure. Like, 20 young rider, shows some flashes. But then I'm like, 6 World Tour teams all in his contract? I'm like, it's a bit much. Like, he's fine, but come on. Like, yeah, just because it's available. Mozzato's gone to Arkea, so that suggests to me, well, first of all, Benji, it's not the biggest signing. He's younger than I thought. He's 24. Why have they signed Mozzato when, frankly, they have many versions of Luca Mozzato already and not LeCav?
Well, one big point I think is that I think Mozzato is a lot cheaper than Cavendish, and I think Cavendish still won't fall for like a small budget like Mozzato's salary, I would dare to say. I would also say that Mozzato is better at scoring points than Cavendish.
I don't know about that. I think Cav...
this year, 857? How much did Cav get? That Cav didn't ride as much, but...
Yeah, but this guy's schedule's like ridiculous. You know, if Cav actually, I mean, that's the thing, maybe you're right. If you send Cav to these races, he won't try. But then he came, he did all right that last Flemish race. I don't know, like Mosato's schedule was like the most ludicrous 1-1, 1.pro sort of misc sprinty one. So, you know, he should be scoring a lot of points. But yeah, they signed him. I'd be surprised, you know, that brings us to Cavendish now, the elephant in the room. You said he's still holding out for the bag. Isn't that time gone? Like, isn't it all, it's all gone to shit. Time now is to think, A, get a contract, B, with a team that has equipment that you can sprint on with someone that can give you a lead out, C, with a Tour de France spot. Like, aren't they the priorities now? And then maybe hope you can get a half decent one the year after.
We had loads of teams already say that Cavendish is not the go-to for them. We had, for example, Trek most recently saying that Cavendish, they're not going after him. You know, X already mistake. Said it. Trek, a mistake?
Yeah, yeah. They're going to send Pedersen to Classics as their leader. Giro is leader, and then Tour is leader.
And Worlds?
And Worlds. Now, listen, if he's able to maintain a seven-month peak, good, fantastic. I like Pedersen. I think he's a really good rider.
Yeah.
In fact, Trek often underrate Pedersen, given some of the squads they send with him. But wouldn't you have Classics Giro with Pedersen if he's doing the Giro? And then who would you send to the Tour? No one really. You could have Cav with a half decent lead out and, you know, American Market, Trek. But
do you think
the Bahrain Cav experience has made a lot of teams really nervous?
I think so, but I also think that the Nibali Trek experience might lead to Cavendish not being something they hunt for, because Nibali at Trek was not necessarily the most successful event for that team either, for the budget that they probably threw at him either. He was Italian, so that probably gave some marketing extra, but I think they are a bit scared of signing the old guards. Then again, they re-signed Mollema for 17 Gallopin. Years. At Gallopin, yeah, yeah. Forgot about
actually
Gallopin.
True, they don't need Cav, they got Aberastri. so, but this is the thing, like, don't spend your budget, all of it, early. This happens every year, right? And you can get ridiculous bargains in November, December. Just leave one or two spots, 250K, yeah. 300K open, and you'll be able to get yourself a 600K, 700K rider for that price. Instead,
other options.
Too much they've spent.
Human Powered Health was one of the teams that was mentioned when it comes to Cavendish. That was a bit odd because they will not go to the Tour de France. So that's
like
the last minute option, I think. Yeah, they probably like leaked and were like, oh, we're interested in Cavendish just to get like the promo.
We should do that.
But
do you reckon we could get Cycling News to write an article if I say I'm thinking of launching a team around Mark Cavendish?
probably.
Maybe.
Not sure you want to risk that.
Yeah.
Would be funny though. But Vino, we'll talk about his team a lot more later, but Vino said that he has contacted Cavendish and he's down to have him in the team and that the ball is now in Cavendish's camp.
He honestly should. Like, well, that brings us to Miguel Angel Lopez. So yeah, Trek, nope. Israel has said their team is complete, but it wasn't like we're not signing any more riders. But then it's like the one old English rider they should sign. Ironically, they won't. Cavendish, because, yeah, and he might get them to the Tour. Ineos, we don't know either. Could they, like, I'm sure they could move Camworth on if they needed to create a roster spot. But they look full. So Ineos doesn't seem likely. So yeah, Astana, a roster spot and budget has opened up because Miguel Angel Lopez had his contract terminated. Now, Raul's been following this a lot more closely. There's been periodic updates of this in the Spanish press, that the severity of which hasn't really made its way to the English language press throughout the year. it sort of was like, oh, he's just a witness for this doctor thing who he's just seeing anyway. Well, this is actually who the doctor was. So the relevant doctor who's being investigated is an Operacion Ilex, is Dr. Marcos Maina. So he's being investigated as part of that. And Miguel Angel Lopez is a witness in the investigation into an alleged doping network headed by this Dr. Maina. Now, in Spain, it's not illegal to dope in sport like in other countries like Austria. So a lot of the Atlas cyclists and co, they got criminal prosecutions for doping. Yeah. But running a doping network is illegal in Spain. So if you are a client of said doping network or related to it, you can be called as a witness. So you're not being prosecuted, but it's like, well, why are you being called as a witness? And another person implicated is Vicente Bella García, who is a masseur working for the Astana Pro team. So anyway, Maynard, he was suspended from 2009 to 2019 by the Portuguese Cycling Federation. So, yeah, suspended by them. Jesus. suspended for 10 years for a doping, in relation to a doping scandal. And I think he was on the WADA prohibited list until 2019 as well. But anyway,
as a doctor or as a substance?
As a doctor, I think. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, teams or anyone working for a team, they can't even talk to Ferrari.
Yeah. Yeah.
In any capacity, because he's on that list, someone on that list. Anyway, according to Spanish newspaper ABC, which we'll put the link to the article down below, the judge of the instruction court Cuatro of Cáceres has documentation allegedly indicating that Miguel Angel Lopez received a dose of menotropin before the Giro 2022. So apparently ABC, this newspaper, says that they have cited documents from the court, this trial of Maynard, saying that. And that's, and then Astana, we should get now to the Astana press release. Astana then brought out a press release saying they have terminated Lopez's contract. They obviously didn't say any specifics. They just said that he's been terminated because new news has come to light, being in, you know, like in connection with Dr. Maynard. And then Lopez responded. Lopez said, oh, sorry, I'll read the actual thing. Astana said new elements showing Lopez's probable connection with Dr. Marcos Maynard was the reason for the termination. Lopez said there are no new facts which could justify such decision not known or reported before November 2022 by Astana team. So that suggests to me, like, he's saying you knew all this before November 2022. That's what that says. And yeah, he says it's a clear case of abusive termination without cause and that he will defend his rights before the corresponding court. So to make clear, Lopez has not confessed to any anti-doping violation. He's not tested positive for any substance. No substance, from what we know, from what the press has said, has been found in connection with Lopez. All that's really come out is he's a witness in this trial. And ABC Spanish newspaper has that documents from that trial. So no one's going to sign him, right, Benji? Like, apart from Medellin, yeah. Colombia, maybe. Like, you can't. And because this trial might end and then the actual trial's documents become public and you could look like you just could blow up in your face.
Yeah, I think there's a substantial difference between looking at Quintana's plays where he is in and Miguel Angel Lopez's plays where he is in. Miguel Angel Lopez has, according to the reports we just mentioned, a probable connection towards Marcos Minor is what was said in that Astana press release. And that is much more significant, having a probable connection towards a doping doctor, than, for example, with Quintana having used Tramadol, being called on Tramadol and so forth, but Tramadol not being a doping substance according to the WADA ban list. That's a very significant difference where on
and
paper...
And that's done. He's been punished. It's true. Over.
I agree. I still find it sketchy from a personal level that he did that.
Of course.
But that
there's no bad news around the corner, touch wood.
Exactly. Well, hopefully. Let's knock on wood here for a second. But also next to that, is it just possible to sign someone that is... He's not being investigated on paper, according to a statement. So is there anything barring them from doing it legally?
I don't think so. There's just like, yeah, the backlash, I guess. What's curious to me is, so there's a strike rule in the UCI rules. If mm-hmm. you have multiple riders in a certain time period, which I haven't looked up, let's say 12 months or 2 years, test positive or have an anti-doping rule violation, you can't compete for, how long is it, like 45 days? It happened to Vinny, right?
Yeah.
And if it's three, then it's like longer than that. Anyway, Gazzoli was on Astana and he popped this year. If he actually ends up being punished for an anti-doping rule violation, do Astana think just because they terminated him after the fact that it won't count against their strike record? Like, is that what they're trying to do? Like, that's not how it works. You can't, like, if some employee at a company commits, you know, some sort of, they embezzle money and then they get fired and then the regulator says, we're now going to punish you because that employee did something wrong. And you're like, oh, well, I fired them afterwards. They're not here anymore. It's like, no. It happened. It doesn't matter whether you fired them. So that's, again, like, I'm not sure that will absolve them of the second strike if anything does come of this. So, again, like a lot of anti-doping cases, police, court processes are really the engine behind a lot of them. And not testing positive for anything. I would say I did have a wry smile that, you know, if this is true, like, who the fuck is doping before Mount Etna stage? Everyone knows Mount Etna stage, they do like 1 watt per kilo less. On stage four of the Giro, they always go so slow because it's in Sicily. And so I don't know. That also, I was like, you don't even understand the parkour. If that is true, but it's a shame.
I want to mention that apparently it's a 15 to 45 days. It's Article 7.12.1 in the UCI anti-doping rules, the one you mentioned. So 15 to 45 days. The reason I think Bardiani also had it in the past, if I recall correctly, with Ruffini and Pirazzi back in the day. But I also want to mention that. Would it also not be logical that staff also counts within that? Let's say the masseur is involved in some way.
Has he been fired?
I don't know. I have no information on him. But according to those reports by ABC, he's in investigation.
Yeah, like he wasn't really included from what I could see in this. Like the Astana press release didn't also say he's been let go. I presume he would be, yeah, but it's not a good look. Of course, this there's not any team orchestrated anything, but yeah, the reports are that there was the masseur somehow involved in this. And it's like, it's crazy because I legit, 2 days after he abandoned, Lopez walked into the lift with me at home And it's just crazy. Seems like totally normal. Yeah. Obviously, a lot of... It's just, yeah. Cycling keeps... These things keep popping up year after year, like these operations. I mean, I hope we get some sort of resolution either way. Either a conviction or being absolved. I think something in the mid-ground. I don't like things in the mid-ground. Like, at least Quintana's like, tramadol, punished, move on. That's what happened. I think the ITA don't get any documents or not as much information until the court processes have finished. But on to Cavendish, with Lopez out and his probably substantial budget, Astana are pretty fucked. Like, their team was awful this year, and Lopez and Nibali were their better scorers, their best riders. They're both gone. So Vino needs something. He's got some money spare. He's put the offer out to Cav. Could Cav actually, would you take it if you were Cav? If it was twice the money of anywhere else or three times the money?
Oh, because like Astana's a team that also has gotten the reputation over the years, eh? Lopez is not the only one that has been connected with doping stuff over the last 10 years. Obviously, there's nothing that came up like team-wise. I think Vinokurov had to go to the UCI when Cookson was still there to talk about it in 2014 or something. Because they were considering revoking the license of Astana back in the day. Like, plenty of stuff happened in 2008 and so forth, where I think they were refused a Tour de France invitation as a consequence of stuff that happened within the team, or in related to the team, I must correct. But I don't know. If I was Cavendish, on paper, it's a perfect spot to go to when it comes to being able to go to the Tour de France, but there's no train for you there. Their history with sprinters is bloody awful. They've got Gleb Siritsa now, which is that guy, that Russian new sprinter that's quite intriguing to see grow, to be honest. I'm pretty happy to see him. He's literally like a tank on a bike. He's like he's like a rhinoceros on a bike.
Dude, can't Pronsky do third last man Asgenroll?
Mate, Moscon will be back.
Seriously though, who can Fedorov?
Batistella?
Well, yeah, what would their train be? Fedorov? Batistella? Siriuska can't do a stage race, mate. He'll OTL the Basque stages. Nah, I'm probably being harsh here. I think he raced in like Catalonia. Maybe can. I think he can climb okay. But yeah, it's tough. Who would be last man?
Who will be last man? When I look at their team for next year, I think the only, like, unless Siritsa becomes last man, I think that we're looking at a Batistella to be that. Or a,
yeah,
like, Fellini 10 years younger maybe, but not currently. Martin Laas is in that team next year.
Oh, he could actually do it. All jokes aside, he could actually do it. Laas. Yeah. Like, he's actually...
Interesting.
You know, clearly 29 Conti level, pro Conti sprinter that hasn't been on a crack at a world tour. He's the one who could do it. But otherwise, Antonio Nibali.
I'm surprised he's able to stay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they just.
He would have fit in that Q36.5 team.
I know, yeah, they would have signed him. I mean, they could put together something, surely. But yeah, it's not great.
You got to give it to Astana, though, that basically half their team next year is Kazakh riders.
Yeah, I mean, some of the Kazakhs are actually... Well, Lutsenko is good. Fedorov is good. He got a long-term extension. Brzezinski is quite good. Pronsky is good. And yeah, of course, like, Seitz is quite... He's just finishing his career out. Is he not? But yeah, I don't know if I'd take it if I was Cav. I don't know.
It depends on the other offers.
It could make side endorsements tougher too. So you lose money. Yep. You lose other money.
Unless
if Ineos give me anything, I'm taking it. Like, I don't know his financial position, but like, if Ineos offered anything, I would jump on it. And then Is Astana much worse than Israel for a sprinter? No sprinters before.
Reputation-wise, yes.
Yeah, of course, in that aspect. I mean, purely in the sporting aspect, Israel has been bad for sprinters.
Is it their bike?
Solo. I think it's everything, honestly. Yeah, it's just everything. But UNOX, your team, Benji. Why didn't they sign Cavendish? Yeah, I know. They only want to sign Norwegians and Danish people, but he's from the Isle of Man. It's like not far.
Technically, it was once owned by the Norsemen. But,
was it? Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I'm making this up from watching Vikings, I guess. But I would say that there's also the aspect that they just signed Christoph. Imagine signing Christoph, hyping him up to ride with Christoph at the Classics and the Tour de France and so forth, and then be like, well, Christoph, we know we'd put you in the center of attention, but we just were able to sign Cavendish, so now you're going to be lead out.
But he should, though. Like, I would say going into Tour de France stages with Christoph, say they get the wild card, Christoph sprinting against Groenewegen and Jakobsen, Wout van Aert. He doesn't have a chance. So, and Cav does. And Cav with Christoph lead out does. Christoph led out Gerben Tyson quite well this year.
Unless it rains.
Even then, like Mads Pedersen, pretty good in rain.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. I tried. I think it's more the classics.
I'm just saying, like, Christoph leading out, of course, in one day races, Christoph is far superior and should be leader. But in the Tour de France, him leading out Cav is going to actually give you a chance to win a stage.
Yeah, true. I agree. And I also think that, you know, X is limiting themselves by their focus on the Norwegian, Danish area completely, because that will make their pathway to World Tour a lot harder. And if you have Cavendish, you 100% have your wild card. While now they're kind of on the fence, because let's say that Cavendish is signed by... Let's say Total pops up and signs Cavendish, which also kind of fits. And for example, Human Power Health, that's like a shady one in the sense of if they sign him, are we certain that they're going to get a wild card? I don't think so still. No. But if Total gets it, Total's automatically getting it, no? Or no? They're like...
Total's going to the Tour automatically. Yeah, anyway, so... Because of the... They scored a shitload of points last year because of Julien Simon.
And because they're French?
They don't take the discretionary spot.
Yeah, yeah.
Because their points. I agree. Total makes a lot of sense. The problem is, like with Christoph signing, teams, whatever the opposite of a sunk cost fallacy is, maybe it is a sunk cost fallacy. They're like, no, we have Sagan and he's being paid a lot of money, so he has to go to the Tour to do the sprints. When in reality, Total should send Sagan to the Giro and Cavendish to the Tour. And that would be, but they won't do that because the Giro doesn't provide much exposure. They've already put a lot of money into Sagan. But yeah, especially stay on the same equipment, Cavendish. So it would make a lot of sense. And their lead out's pretty good. Peter Kennick said on, I think, Never Strays Far, I think it was that on that podcast. He alluded to Cav being in good spirits and likely had signed a contract somewhere. So I don't know if that was B&B a while ago, but apparently, so if that's true, then he's already good. If it is, though, I don't know why they haven't announced it yet. Yeah, maybe it's Israel and they're trying to make sure they can... get confirmation from ASO. I don't know, when does the Tour de France wildcards get invited? Yeah, announced ages away.
I think it's
away,
throughout
right?
the year. I think it's okay. Like March or April or something. I remember that we were in the year when we discussed the UNOX versus BNB storyline last year, or this year at least.
I would send UNOX now, 100%. Yeah, Johannesson plus Christoph. And then who are the other options? Israel and Uskaltel. Yeah, sorry. I know it's starting in the Basque country, but there's also 18 other stages. And the Basque fans are going to come out and enjoy it anyway. There's also Mikel Landa and Pau Bilbao both doing the race at Bahrain. and probably his gear at Cofidis. So I know it's very harsh, but Uscatel, I'm sorry. I'd like to see Israel, who won two stages, or UNOX. Thank you very much. But, you know, Uscatel, Basque Country, let's win a breakaway stage. Any last thoughts on the Cavendish drama, Benji? Are we overrating his draw? Are other teams, or are we not?
I don't know. Israel, how certain are they of getting the Tour de France wildcard? Cavendish is like,
I think you go to for certain. That, eh?
Exactly.
Like, wouldn't it, if you say we won two stages and we got Cav, like, wouldn't it? If it would I make made sense. So, I'd send them. Like, they still have good riders. It just, like, they were good in the Tour. They won two stages. The problem was everything else.
It would make sense. It would make sense for him to go to that team. It depends on, like, the length of the contract as well. Like, how long do you think an Israel will sign him? It's a one-year contract always.
Eh? One.
Exactly. So, I'd say it's a 1 year unless... Nah, it's a 1 year. Simple as that. Israel is an interesting place, I think, for him. And I don't know what the formation is when it comes to our team, if they have spots left and so forth, but he's certainly a rider that would make that team go to the Tour de France, which is exactly what they're looking for. So, that'd be perfect, I think, for them.
Yeah, I think so, but hasn't come out yet. We'll wait with bated breath. We're nearly 9 days away, 10 days away from Christmas. Maybe we'll hear something before then. But otherwise, a lot of news has happened. B&B folding, and there's not just Cav. We've hyper-focused on him. There's also riders like Nick Schultz, who are quality riders, who were supposed to go there. Of course, Sinkeldam's gone to be a lead out at Alpecin because, unfortunately, Rickard, I think, is still recovering. So that makes a lot of sense. That's a good pickup from them. But Schultz, you know, he was the favorite or second favorite for the Houtenkamp stage in the Tour de France. He hasn't got a team next year. Like, this is why, I said, keep a bit of budget in reserve for November, December, and you can snipe these deals. Is he a quick step pickup? Because he fits that mountain domestique role.
Laurens or Schultz?
Schultz. He'll be cheaper, I think. I think you can get for nothing.
And we also don't hear rumors from him. Like, so the budget is not hyped up as much.
Exactly. The only hype for him is me mentioning for GC and stages. So, I think not going to have as fierce a bidding war. We might get him for 120, 150 maybe at Quick Step. And I think, slots in for Remco or somewhere else. I don't know. But yeah, that's all from us. Hope you enjoyed it. Go and check out Zwift Academy, the episodes. As I mentioned, pretty good entertainment, half an hour plus to keep you tuned or to keep you going on the trainer. We'll sneak in a Christmas Q&A as well. So make sure, Benji will put up on Twitter, I think, the tweet asking for your questions. So stay tuned for that. But otherwise, hope you're all well, and we'll see you in the next one. Ciao.